This month of March, I've just been asking the Lord. Asking the Lord to help us in several different areas. And I know that the truth has the power to break through the darkness in the minds and the hearts of people. And one of the things during the Lord speaks to you through different things, but during the seminar that we were involved in last week, the section, I don't remember which night, second night maybe, that describes the spirit and how that the things of God are spiritually comprehended, and that spirit has to be the soul and the mind has to be subject to the law of God in order to so that the spirit of a man, we can comprehend the things of God. And that's one of the things we're dealing with in cases like Jason, is that you can try to understand the things of God with your mind, but you need, there has to be a work of the Spirit in a person's life for them to be saved. And this has been on my mind for months, that I wanted to take the month of March and just look at a very important doctrines. And so that we, many of us know these things, we just need reminders. We need to know what the Bible says and these very pertinent issues that are foundational to what we believe and how that we live. And we need to know the truth. We need to know the word of the Lord. And we need to know what we believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to read some verses in the book of Genesis here tonight. And tonight the topic is we're all sinners. Everyone, the universality of sin and the fall of man. And we're going to look at this and talk about several different things from the Word of God here tonight. And I just trust that we're able to hear from the Lord. And that it's not too discouraging. And because Sunday morning we're going to talk about everybody can be saved. Whosoever will can be saved. Talk about the cure, the antidote to this terrible disease of sin that runs rampant in our world, and everyone is affected by it. Amen. Let's read here in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. This goes totally contrary to a lot of the philosophy of our world today, because people believe, and there's even a lot of teaching that goes along the lines of this, that people are essentially good. They believe that people are good, and you just need to bring out the good that's in a person, and just try to revive something good in someone. And so that's why that there's all this effort of self-improvement. How to be better, how to improve yourself in every different way, physically, mentally, do all that you can to try to improve yourself. And when the focus is on all of that, then everything becomes very man-centered. And that's where we are today in such a humanistic world that we live in. And to describe the fact that we all have a bent toward wrong. We all have this nature that is corrupted by sin. And people don't have to be taught how to sin. They have a natural bent toward sin, toward doing that which is evil and that which is wrong. It didn't start off that way. We read here in the book of Genesis, when you read the first three chapters of Genesis, the wonderful story of the creation and all that God did and everything He created, it was good. God created man in His image and in His likeness. It was good. The corruption came in chapter 3 here that we read, as we read and described here in this chapter, that man was created by God and in the image of God. He was created in the image of God, and He was the crown of all creation. Now here is another false philosophy that's in our world today. And the only thing that will counter the philosophies of this world is the truth of God's word. You know the truth, and you're set free from all of these worldly, carnal, humanistic philosophies. Another philosophy of the world is that all of life is equal. All life is equal. And so if you step on a bug, it's equal with killing someone. People, they treat all of life. Now, I'll be very upfront about this. I do not believe that we should mistreat anyone or any of God's creations. I don't believe that we should be abusive to animals or anything of that sort. All of creation deserves us it's beautiful, it's made by God, and we should respect it, and we should take care of it. I don't know how far we should take the whole green thing, but I do believe we need to understand that the Bible is very clear that man was the crown of creation, a whole different level of creation. And that when man was created, man had the capacity to choose between right and wrong, good and evil, given a conscience to choose between that which is good and that which is evil. And so while we respect and we're grateful for the beauty of creation and all of the animal life and everything we know is created by God, we understand that man steps up to a whole new level, the highest level of creation. And a man with a soul, a man with a conscience, a man that is an eternal being that will never die. Amen. The physical body, yes. But the other of creation dies and goes back to the dust. No spirit there. Sorry, all of you animal lovers. But I don't think little Fido is going to be in heaven. I don't think he's going to be there. And you may want to debate with me about that, but I do believe that it's important that we understand as far as creation is concerned, because this is a strong philosophy in our world today that wants to put man, it wants to make the created up and bring it up to the level of the Creator. It wants to elevate creation and infer that all of creation is equal. Not true. That's not a biblical concept at all. Amen. Amen. Man is the crown of all creation, made in the image of God and made with the capacity to fellowship with God and to know God. Amen. What an amazing thing. But man with this ability and capacity to know God and to fellowship with God, man that was given a will, man that was given a conscience, and the possibility, even the possibility of even choosing that which was wrong. Amen. and mankind. We read to you here from Genesis chapter 3, it's exactly what happened, that man was created in its level of perfection, created in the image of God, created in His likeness, created placed in this wonderful, beautiful place of provision by God for him. But sin entered into the picture. And God, who gave to this crown of creation the ability to choose to know God, to choose to obey God, and to do that which is right. Amen. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. So man is over all of creation. All the other animals and all the other creation, not equal with God, are not equal with man. Man is the crown of creation. And now this is foundational, but it's really important because it counters with a very foolish worldly philosophy today that's being promoted. And so to understand that we are all sinners and that we fell into sin because of our choosing. Amen. Amen. Man made the choice. The scripture here that, you know, Satan in the form of the serpent came. And first of all, as we read to you here, first of all, inserted the doubt into Eve's mind. And then completely, completely and entirely contradicted what God had said. Half God said, you know, just keep in mind, questions. The question mark already looks kind of like a serpent. And when there's the questions related to truth and related to the Word of us, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be inquisitive. There are questions, the right kind of questions aren't okay and appropriate. But when it comes to challenging God, questioning God and the Word of God, that comes from Satan. That comes from the enemy of our soul. And so first he put the doubt in her mind and was questioning God, questioning God's Word, questioning what God had said in his character, and then just flatly contradicted what God had said, the Word of the Lord. And Satan's plan was to bring those who are our parents back there, Adam and Eve, and cause them that by, you know, partaking of this fruit and disobeying God, thinking that they were going to be wise and that they were going to be in control of their own life. Literally, what he was saying is you can live independent of God. You don't need God. You'll be like God when you partake of this fruit. And so it was this lie convincing men that they should be able to live their lives independent of God completely. And we know that's another lie. Another lie that has to be uncovered. Man cannot live without God, independent of God. If you do, it's nothing but sinfulness, corruption, and hopelessness. I was with some of my family. This is family on my mother's side. And my mother got saved when she was, you know, a young person. But she has two sisters and three brothers. And none of them serve the Lord. Actually, her older sister did get saved a few years, maybe 4 or 5 years before she passed away. But this uncle that passed away was my mother's younger sister, her husband, and they lived. There was just one house between us. They lived two houses down. Most of my growing up years, my mother was she was the babysitter. For my aunt worked and my mom took care of these cousins. And so several years, they were kind of almost like brothers and sisters. They were that close to us because we lived so close together. But they didn't serve the Lord. They went to Sunday school with us some, but their lives went a complete different direction. And now there's two generations. Their four children have all these children and their great-grandchildren, and for the most part, the whole family away from God. And there's this perpetuation of sin and ignoring God and thinking that you can live your life without the Lord. And I've experienced this before, but whenever people face death, they are looking for hope. They are looking for answers. There's always a real open door that's there. And I had such an opportunity to talk to so many of my family. And, you know, and they didn't just want to carry on an ordinary conversation. Many of them, you know, they wanted to talk to me about what's going on in your life and what have you been up to, and what about the church? What about church? And asking me so many questions and spiritual questions, and such an opportunity. And I was grateful for the opportunity. But when people live independent of God, they go further and further and further away from God's ideal, which is revealed in His Word, and they don't know anything about the things of God. They just don't understand or can't comprehend it because they are bound in their sin. They are caught in the trap of sin. And the only way that they can be set free is by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Born in sin. Amen. Born with this innate bent toward doing wrong. You've all seen it in your little children, even in the little babies. I mean, I hadn't been on very many hours until I heard Ryder saying several times, you know, do you want to go here? You want to do this? You want, no, that's one of the words they learn. No, I don't want this. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want to do that. This will to do what they want to do, that is not just childishness. That is that nature that they inherited from their fathers of many, many generations. Amen. Including me. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. But they say, no, there's this resistance to what is right. That reveals their bent and their nature. Mankind that has fallen without God and without the knowledge of God, they're going to continue to move further and further away from God. It's a hopeless situation. It is a hopeless circumstance in a world that we live in the country that we live in right now, because God's removed from every possible, if you just look at it, that God is removed from schools. He's removed from government. He's removed from most families. And even in churches today, the gospel is so cloudy and not really a clear message of the gospel. And so people are just going further and further in their sin and away from God. But the fall of man just opened up the floodgates. And down through the generations and the decades and the centuries, the floodgates of sin. And you can read about this in the book of Romans chapter 5. Let me read a few verses to you here. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who in the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Amen. And so the important understanding and reminder of the fact that everyone, Psalm 51 in verse number 5, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's not talking about that he was conceived in sin. He was talking about the fact that he was born a sinner. born a sinner. And all men are born depraved. The word there, our English word depraved, it comes from a Latin word that means twisted, crooked, distorted. That's what happened. When sin entered in, then the perfect plan of God, all that was provided there in the garden and all the fellowship and the relationship that God had with man, all of that was twisted, distorted, and changed because sin entered into the situation. And then man has this bent towards sin, toward doing wrong. A man left to himself will do wrong, and he'll continue. He'll go further and further and further away from God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's our nature. Children of wrath. We're born with this nature, and the only thing that can change that is a creative work of God. Amen. We can't have a self-improvement society in the church. We can't think we can bring someone in and say, let's fix them up. Let's clean them up and help them out a little bit and pull them out of their sin. You know, that's really a waste of time. It really is. It's a waste of time. You can clean up the old man and get him all dressed up just the way that he needs to be, but he's got that nature that's still determined to go away from God and to disobey God. And so there has to be a work of the Spirit of God. That's what needs to happen in Jason, and that's what needs to happen in all these others that we're praying for. There has to be a work of the Spirit. There has to be a creative work of God in their life. Amen. A new creature, not fixing up the old man, not doing better. Have you heard people say that before? I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to live better. I'm trying to let go of these things and trying to do better. And all of their efforts are man-made. And they're not going to succeed because they have to have a work of the Spirit of God. You know, this sinful nature, this depraved nature, it affects everything. It affects the way we think, the way we act. It affects everything about us. Our morality, everything about us is affected by this depraved nature in us. That's why that we need a complete, total work of the Spirit of God. We need a renewing of our mind, a creative work, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of our life completely. Amen. That's why when someone truly gets born again, oftentimes people will say, they're just not like the same person. They're so different. They're so changed. Because that's what's supposed to happen. Amen. There needs to be that kind of a creative work of salvation in the lives of people. A person, you know, when you're in sin and you're still under that law of sin, that depraved nature is in control. You have no ability to understand or comprehend what's right and wrong. You can't do it. You can make some judgments that may seem to be right and on the basis of maybe outside influences. Someone can be raised up in a home that says, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't steal. And that may have a real effect upon that person that they won't involve themselves in that kind of an activity. But if they get put in a situation where the circumstances are just right, they'll steal. They'll go against what's right. Even though that they have heard the law and they've heard what's right, unless there is this changing of their life. Creative work, man, has no ability to truly distinguish between what is good and right. That's the reason that people begin to rationalize and they reason, this will be okay. This will be right. Because as we learned the other day about the fact that, you know, you can convince your mind, but your spirit is still saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't the thing that I need to do. There has to be a transforming work that affects every part of you. A spiritual, creative work. Amen. And then, you know, as far and as bad as it is, as evil as it is, and we're going to talk about the wonderful work of salvation this weekend. Please pray that there will be those here this Sunday morning that they will see their need to get really saved, really born again. Amen. I don't know, a lot of churches, they do different things when it comes to conversion, and I know that sometimes, you know, shake the preacher's hand, sign the membership card, join the church, whatever. But we know that it is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit of God. And that as far as bad as people are, as unimaginable it is that people in their sin and how far away from God that they are, that God's grace can pull them out of that. Amen. And can change them and can save them. As I said a little while ago, I sure don't recommend deathbed repentance, because you don't know that you're ever going to have the opportunity. But I do know also that when there have been people who have prayed for that person for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, or maybe longer than that, that God can even reach into that situation, even in the last moments of their life, and reveal His grace to them if they call upon the Lord, if they confess their sins, if they repent of their sins, if there's genuine remorse and sorrow over their sins, then they can be forgiven, because God is a God that, as hard as it is to comprehend, no matter how deep into sin people are, God's grace is always much greater. Amen. Much greater. And His mercy can pull them out of the depths of the sin that they're in. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God. So you can reach down and touch a life that is away from God and can save them. And don't give up upon your friend and loved one. Keep believing and praying for them. And many of these, they're bound, their mind is bound, their life is bound by sin. There's been this pattern of sin in their lifestyle all of those years. And there needs to be the light of the gospel break into all that darkness. And it's only going to happen by the Spirit of God. The mighty work of the Spirit of God is God brings men to salvation. Amen. So we're going to have to counter all of these worldly philosophies that are being promoted today, for us to understand that if a man's going to get saved, we're going to have to get him lost first. We're going to have to get him to the place that he recognizes how bad off that he is, and that there's no hope for him. No self-improvement. Nothing he can do in his own power to bring any eternal consequence at all. He needs the Lord. Amen. He needs to be saved. He needs to be brought out of that sin, and that will be a miracle of God's grace whenever it takes place. Amen. It doesn't matter how depraved or how far from sin that they are, the Lord is able to save them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you, in your mercy, you saw where we were, and you pulled us up out of that terrible pit and provided hope and salvation for us. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful creative work, Lord, that changed our mind, that changed our spirit, that changed us completely, Lord, in every respect. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful, wonderful grace of God that reaches to where we are. I pray, Lord, for those that are within our families and those that are within our reach, our communities and our neighborhood. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to not only be a light, but to share the light with them, Lord, that sin might be defeated in their life and they might know what it is to be truly born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.